have to be, have the flesh cut away from your heart. After you get a little bit old enough to, that you can realize your need to really have the life of God in you. Not just be here because mom and daddy brought me. I grew up in here. Mom and daddy, you know, these little girls, Isabel and Elizabeth. They're a year old today, I think, aren't they? And is this the one that was laying on my deal? It's dead. I mean, that's the one I just replaced with this, and I have. They're running around here, cute as buttons, and but they're born in here. But the day will come that they'll have to make a decision. Am I staying in this? Am I going to get this for myself? Or am I, you know, in other words, when I get old enough, am I going to make the decision that I need life for myself? And, you know, that even could happen to them. They may get the Holy Ghost when they're 6 or 7, or maybe even younger. I've seen them get it younger than that. If they don't get it by the time they're 8, they'll generally wait till they're around 12 or so. Seems like there's a break in there where God can touch them at a certain age, and then they go through a certain stage that it takes it a little bit longer. But girls a lot of times will get the Holy Ghost before boys will. And but when they, and even though they have the Holy Ghost, they still, even though if you got the Holy Ghost when you was young, you'll still have to get to a place that finally something happens in your life that causes you to be connected and committed to God. And I'll tell you about me. God touched me enough in my life that at a young age that I did come to the realization that God's never going to leave me alone. I did. I realized that. I thought, God, you know, I'm part of God's family. He touched, you know, when God, if He loves you, you know, you may say, well, I've heard people say, I wish God would leave me alone. Brother, I wouldn't make a statement like that for nothing in the world. I wouldn't want God to hear me say something like that. Of course, He understands our ignorance. When anybody say something like that's just a fool. But, and God knows that, and He can overlook it. But I've had too great a fear of God, you know, planted in me, but I realized that I'm part. God connected. He was connected to me. I was connected to this, and I ran from it, but I couldn't get away from it. Every time I'd turn around, God, you know, so every time something happened, I wasn't like the ungodly. When I graduated from high school, my dad transferred from, we had moved to Texas because he was transferred there to build NASA. And then he transferred to San Antonio, Texas to be in the electrical engineering department of the Army Corps of Engineers over the 5 Army bases that was in San Antonio, Texas. And I was a senior in high school when they moved down there, and I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay with my friends, and so they let me live with my brother the remainder of that year. And so I lived with my brother until I graduated from high school, and then I moved into an apartment with a friend that I was in school with. And this boy just did not have the touch of God on his life that I had. We weren't going to church, Brother Daniels. I wasn't doing right then. But this boy didn't know what, you know, what was going on in my life. He didn't know how I was raised. And me and him would do things, and we'd come home at night, messed up. Mother Daniels knows what that means. And we'd go to bed, and he'd be snoring in about 2 minutes. And I'd be laying over there on my side saying, "Now lay me down to sleep." I'd be saying, "God, I'm low. You got to save me out of this mess I'm in." I couldn't sleep. God was convicting me. I felt bad. Well, and then finally when I heard this message, did you know if you don't make the bride, you're going to still have to overcome? If you're going to inherit light, you've got to overcome sin. Well, if that's the case, you might as well get started. You might as well make the bride, hadn't you? I mean, that's the way I look at it. If I've got to do this, I just well get started on it. Because I know the further out, more I put it off, the more difficult it's going to be. I'm going to have more scars. It was easier for me to make a commitment to God and just. But then there's things that we go through. Let me give you the things just right quick that Brother Wright, I think it was good what he gave us. He felt like God gave him these things that the Lord's was dealing with him about. That hinders us. And that he said that, you know, the Lord was showing this to him. And God gave him 6 words. He said, the Lord just brought these to my mind. He said, I don't really think along the lines of these words. And he said, when I got done, I realized that I had wrote down 6 words. And every one of them started with an I. He said, I didn't realize that when I first got it. But he said, after I got through, I got to looking, and all 6 words were wrote down with an I. And he said, when I counted that there were 6, I thought, you know, if I had 7, it would be a perfect number. He said, I wanted another one. I started looking for another one, but he said, the Lord said, that's it. There's 6. He said, I want you to have those because 6 is the number of man, and I is the problem with you. 6 eyes, you know. I, y'all get that I. And he said the first one he got was indifference, which that word is used in the Bible as frowardness. To be indifferent or froward or contrary or stubborn or argumentative or exalted, to have an indifferent spirit. And that, you know, that these things, they will keep us from going forward if we don't work on them. Let me just use that one. Just leave that one right there where it is. But you can be indifferent, stand out. You know, I'm stubborn. I can't give over to God. I can't yield to God. I know God's dealing with me, but I can't make the decision. You can be stubborn about God's dealing with you. Or you can even have an indifferent spirit after God saves you, that God will have to get you out of that spirit. And let me say something to you about the order of God and the men of God that God puts on over your life. And I know some of you may think that I'm saying this, you know, because this is what I want you to do. But I'm not saying it for that reason. I'm telling you this because I know, I understand God's order, and I understand how God works, and I know what it'll do for you. The men of God that God puts over your life, you need to learn how to reverence that. And you need to realize they have an office that God gave them over your life. I'm telling you this not for them, because you won't really help them. They're the kind of man that's going to get exalted because you have the right spirit toward them. Then they're going to disqualify themselves as men of God. But to qualify you to have the right honor and the right reverence for the ministry that God puts over you and the office He puts over you. And sometimes it's difficult to decipher the difference between the man and the office. But if God really puts a man in an office and he's really got a gift in you, and God reveals that to you, that this is an authority that God's put me under, then you be careful about your irreverence towards that man. God watches that. And if you can learn how to have the proper reverence for that and the proper care for that, God will bless you, because God's watching that, because he's watching how would you treat me, or how would you treat Jesus? Can't you read in the Bible where men dishonored the Son of God, the man of God that God put there? But look at the men that did honor and reverence Him. Look at how God dealt with those men, how God blessed those men. I thank God I don't know how Mama did it. I don't know where I was brought up. But and my wife will tell you, I've been in church. We've been in church basically all our life. How long? 43 years together. And I was in church before that, but but I know this about me. It got planted in me somewhere. I have never had an irreverence toward the men of God. You know, men that I knew that God showed me that they were men of God, that they were elders to me. I even have trouble today. You know, they've tried to get me to discuss the Word of God and debate the Word of God on the threshing floor with my elders, and I can't hardly do it. It's just hard for me to stand up against a man that I don't care if I do understand. Think that I understand something and that he may not understand in the Word of God. It's hard for me to want to correct him on that. I just think, let God correct him on it. He's my elder, and I don't want to take that place. Brother Rader one time was sitting right next to me, and they wanted me to talk on a subject in a minister's meeting. I said, that's going to be hard for me to do that, Brother Rader, sitting right here, when I know he don't believe this like I believe it. He said, preach it, forget I'm sitting here. I said, I can't forget you're sitting here. You're sitting right here next to me, and you're my elder. It's hard for me to hear us talk about something. I know that you don't see it that way. Anyway, I struggled through it, and he struggled through it too, I guess, because he never said a word. But I just know that they're not just men, and God don't want you to look at them as just a man. Another word that he got was indecisive. I mentioned that a minute ago. Non-committed, unstable, not established. To have an indecisive. If you wrote the first one down, you're not writing this one down, well, you're going to miss the second one. Indecisiveness. People can be indecisive. They can, in other words, they're not committed. You know, y'all know when I started working with Brother Linegar, I was committed to him. The day I told him that God showed me to work with you, I told him, I said, I'm going to obey. I'm going to do everything you ask me to do. So be careful and don't take advantage of me. He promised me he wouldn't, and he never did. But I was committed. I was committed. He did some things I wouldn't have done, but I was with him. And you know what? I've still been tagged with him. Somebody said in this meeting, two men walked up to me. One put on his hand on my shoulder and put his hand on the other one. He said, you know, if we can straighten this guy out on the doctrine of resurrections, it'd be a miracle. The other one said, it ain't going to happen. He said, he's too deeply ingrained in it. I said, no. I said, if y'all can help me. I said, but you're going to have to help me. Because I've got questions y'all haven't answered. And I'm not sure you can answer them. At least you haven't so far. I said, you get some of my questions answered, and I'll listen if you can help me on these things. But they tagged me, you know, with Brother Liniger on that. Well, he did help me on that. Number three, irresponsible. These are things that can keep you from moving forward. Irresponsible, neglectful. Not just, you know, a lot of times we think, well, I'm responsible. Well, let's use a few words that might, careless. You can be just careless, and that's not being responsible. Or neglectful. You know, I think I'm neglectful sometimes, but I'm not irresponsible. Well, if I'm neglectful, I'm irresponsible in some areas. Or careless. Wanton is a Bible word there for it. Slothful is another Bible word for it. You ever get to feeling like, my God, I need to get to read my Bible more? Have you ever been neglectful in your Bible? How about prayer? I appreciate Brother Daniels reminding us of Brother Whitlow's admonishing us in prayer. Appreciate him reminding us about that. I really do believe if we're going to get out of here, we're going to have to do more of what we're doing. We may be too complacent. We may be too satisfied on this side of Israel. This side of Jordan, I mean. Independent. Yeah, number four, independent. To be unaccountable, in other words. You're not a team player. You don't blend your spirit in. So everybody needs to work on that a little bit. You can have too independent of a spirit. You might think that, you know, you've got a better mind or understanding of how things ought to be. You don't agree with everything that's going on. So you're independent. You don't blend in certain areas. You don't get right in the middle of the mesh. maybe a lot of some people that are independent, not everyone, but some of them want to be the star attraction. In other words, I'm not going. We need to learn how to be just a part. And blend in and be a part. Just be thankful we have a part. And Brother Liniger gave us this word, and he said the counter for it was interdependent. In other words, we are dependent on one another. I'm dependent on you. There's an interdependency that I need you, and you need me. We need each other. This is a team effort. There's a corporate effort that God is working on here. That we're having to rely on each other. And because God won't let any one of us have everything, He gives some things to our brothers and sisters, and we have to receive that from them. That's a way that God makes us need each other. And he connects us together on that. I can see God's working on something corporate. He's working on a body. He's working on unity. He wants us to stay together. He wants us. You know, and there are things that have to be accomplished. It's amazing. You know, God didn't give. There's not any two of us that's got the same fingerprints or the same DNA. God made every one of us different than one another, yet we're still so much alike. We've got a job to do, but we cannot, it won't function properly unless it's working with others. You get out on a job all by yourself, you'll find out that you need somebody to help. You need a helper. You need somebody on the other end of the tool or something. Or you need somebody that's, you know, can see this different than you. I've got a brother-in-law, Cecil Ayers, and he used to amaze me that when it came to mechanical things, he could just see mechanical things. He could look at something and tell how it worked. He could say, that's how that thing works. I never did see how that worked until he showed me. You know, it just worked, and that's good enough for me. Unless I had to work on it, I could figure it out maybe if I had to work on it, but he would figure it out without having to work on it. You know, he was intrigued with how mechanical things worked. And I always appreciated that about him. And it sure was good to have him around when you had a mechanical problem. It's always good to have somebody like that. You know, somebody that can see things like that. Well, I'm just saying, but then there was other areas that I could see that he didn't see, that he was intrigued about how I saw things. And it's that way with all of us. God makes, this is, I want to meet this God that we're serving. I'm just telling you, I want to meet him. I want to know more about him because he knows everything and can do everything. And somehow, and I don't think he wants to prevent us from that, but I think he knows for us to be saved, to get to a place that we can live in an environment that he lives in, that we need each other, and that he made us intricately that way. And so, we cannot have an independent spirit. We've got to have an interdependent spirit. We've got to learn how to blend. We've got to learn how to mingle our wine, kill our beast, right here together, and learn how to love each other and accept you as a member in particular. Yet, you know, Paul showed that, how the human body works. How, you know, no other member in the body resents the other member. I mean, my thumb never has wanted to be a little toe or an eyeball or an ear. Or, you know, my body don't fight over those things. It just accepts its place and works perfectly in it. And that's where I want to be. I want to be able to be that kind of member in the body. I don't want to get to thinking that I'm the whole, you know, that the whole body's an eye and that I'm it. Dear Lord. In fact, the bigger this thing gets, the better I like it. You know, I'm glad we're getting we've got as big a band as we have. It accomplishes more. There's more pieces to it. And I'd like to see us have a 100-piece band and see the building full and people working, laboring. And I'll be glad when we come to church on Wednesday, on Sunday night, and these brothers are trying to get up and preach because they got so much to say. Instead of everybody sitting here wondering what the other one's going to do. You're waiting on me. I'm going to tell you something. When I want to say something, I'll get up. You don't have to sit there and wonder if I'm going to get up. If I don't get up, well, just get up. We need you. We need a ministry in here. We need what these brothers have in their hearts. They've got good things. They can give out. It may not, you know, come out like I would say it, but you'll get tired of hearing me if I talk all the time. I like to hear other people. I like to hear what comes out of all y'all's hearts. It feeds me. What you go through, your testimony becomes a part of me. I use that. It helps me make it. Number five is inconsistency. Be inconsistent. Wavering. What did James say? That water that's both bitter and sweet coming out of the same fountain, that's not right. Shouldn't be. We shouldn't be inconsistent. We shouldn't be up today and down tomorrow. We should finally grow in God to where we get on a level plane, where faith takes us, it carries us on, rather we're, no matter how we feel, no matter what we're seeing, that we're not inconsistent. And then number six, to be insensitive, to be calloused, or hardened, or numb, or hard-hearted. But we want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. We want to be sensitive to others, and sensitive to their needs, and sensitive to what the Spirit is saying to the church. And these six I's are things that can keep you from going on in God. And I appreciated Brother Wright giving them to us. I wanted to just give them to you. And I wouldn't. I don't think though that you ought to dwell on the fact. If you say, these are things I'm gonna work on in my life. But I wouldn't take that to beat myself up. What I would do is I'd say, God, what can I do to make sure I'm not indifferent? What can I do? Just ask God to help you. Say, Lord, if I'm indifferent, would you reveal that to me? If I'm stubborn, or if I'm, exalted or too contrary or argumentative, would you let me see that when I do it? I'm the kind of guy that if you're selling something, and I'm talking about, I don't know you, but you've got something in the paper and I come look at it and I want to buy it, you can bet that I'm not going to give you what you're asking for it. Even if I look at it and you say I want $200 for it and I know it's worth $400, I'm still going to try to get it off of you for $100. Or at least that's been in my character. That's been in my spirit. God worked on me one time. I went to a man's house one time. He was selling some speakers. We needed some speakers for a church. And he had some in the paper, and I went to him. And I went in there, and this guy had these speakers priced. And they were priced right. He was asking way less than what they were worth. And so, but me and my salesman days, I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you this much for it. He said, no. He said, I just can't take any less. He said, I really need money, but I've this is how much I need. I wouldn't even sell these. I wouldn't take this for them. I know they're worth more. I said, well, that's all I'll give for them. So I said, if I've got cash, I'll give you right now. He said, well, I can't take it. As bad as I want to, I can't take it. And I said, and I was thinking in my heart, just go on and walk out the door, He'll probably come out to follow you out the car. If he sees you're going to walk off that money in your pocket, he'll probably take it. I could see sweat popping out on him, I could tell he was under pressure. Well, anyway, I put more pressure on him, and I went on out, and I got in the car, and he followed me out there, and I was talking. I was telling him, I said, I really need you to sell these to me, and that's all I'm going to pay you for them. He said, well, I really wish I could. He said, but I just can't take that. I've got a need, and I need the money that I'm asking. And he just kept going over that. I kept sticking to my guns. And so I got in my car and drove off. And I got about two or three blocks down the road, and the Lord dealt with me. I never had God do that before. I mean, conviction came all over me. And I felt like the Lord said to me, "What are you doing? Why are you trying to mistreat that man? Why are you trying to beat him down when you know he's asking what he's asking, and what you found is well worth what you have found, and you've got the money to pay for it?" And God didn't stop there. He said, "Now you just turn right around and go back over there and repent to that man and pay him every dime he's asking for it." And I said, "Oh God, this is the devil talking to me." And he said, "You know better than that." He said, "You already know what's talking to you." I couldn't get out of it. That was one of the hardest things I ever done. I wrestled with that probably 15 minutes sitting in my car. I finally turned around, drove up to that man's house, knocked on his door. And I said, he said, "Hi." Oh, Lord, that there was enough, you know, that I was already felt so bad. Then I had to tell him. I said, "I need to repent to you. I said, there's just something in my spirit that just, you know, is, I just brought up that way, as a horse, kind of like a horse trader, you know." And I said, "What you're asking for those speakers, they're worth it." I said, "I'm a Christian man, and God dealt with me after I left from here." I said, "You're asking a good price, and I can afford it, and I need the speakers." And I felt like the Lord convicted me and told me to repent to you and ask you to forgive me and for me to pay your price. I'm glad he didn't raise the price. I'd have had to paid it. We can have things in our spirit. If we're not careful, we may not realize, and unless the Lord shows us. You can ask God to help you. I had that indifferent spirit. You know, I was stubborn. And I was going to do it my way. I was argumentative about it. That was just in my spirit. But the Lord can help you. The Lord can if you'll ask God, he can convict you right when you do something wrong. And if you'll kill that right there, you know. You know, if the Lord tells you, "Why don't you raise your hands?" And you say, "I ain't going to raise my hands." The best thing you can do, you say, "How do I know this is God?" Well, don't take a chance on missing him. It ain't going to hurt you to raise them anyway. Just say, "All right, Lord, I've got them up. What do you want me to do now?" If you can get to a place where, you know, you don't argue with God, I think that can go on right in the pews. And ask the Lord to show you these things and ask him to help you. Because you don't want to dwell on what's wrong. You want to dwell on, how do I get fixed of all of this? You know. And the answer is how? Mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. If you'll ask God to help you, the Spirit will start working with you. He'll start talking to you. John said it this way. He said, "You have the unction of the Holy One and you know all things." Well, you don't know them right now, but you've got the ability to know them through that unction. The Holy Ghost can give you an unction and say, "You turn around and go repent of that and get that fixed right now." Oh, Lord. You may need that in your relationship on a job. You may need that in your marriage. You know, I've learned that marriage relationships, you can get to a place that you get complacent or you get comfortable with one another, and you get to where you cut corners. You know, you'll take care and time with others, not to hurt them or not to offend them, but in your marriage, you get to where you take one another so much for granted, you cut all the corners, and you just get right down to where, you ask one another the question, and you ask, yeah, no. Or, I done told you once. And if you stay in that, you'll hurt the relationship. It'll get strained. I believe God can help us with all these things if we just ask Him, oh God, begin to convict us, Lord. Begin to touch us. I'm pushing buttons somewhere. Hallelujah. Well, God can. This Holy Ghost. You can not let the Holy Ghost work. How many of y'all don't raise your hands, because go ahead and raise them if you want to. How many of y'all have got a $100 bill in your purse or in your pocket? If I see enough hands, I'll take up an offering. Well, I didn't see any hands, but I'll guarantee you there's several of them in here. Yeah, there's several of you holding out. Got them stuffed back. I know how you are. Yes, you do. Just go on and fess up. I'm not wanting to get your money, but I'm just telling you. I can ask my wife. I said, "You got any money, huh?" No. Well, what she means is I don't have any money like the money you're talking about. I've got some money, but it's not for you. It's a special. I got that in a special place. It's non-expendable right now. But I'll guarantee you she's got some. You know, I hate to say that publicly. She may get robbed, but she may not have it on her person or in her purse, but I guarantee you somewhere she could find it if she had to. That is, unless the grandkids had a real need. Now, they are the only ones I know that can get it out of her. But if you've got a $100 bill or three or four of them stuck away somewhere, some of y'all have had some of them $100 stuck away. They're getting moldy. And they're not doing you a bit of good. And the Holy Ghost is that way. You can have the Holy Ghost, but if you don't use it, if you don't spend it, you don't let the Holy Ghost work in your life. I'm telling you, we've got something. We've got riches inside of us that are unbelievably powerful. If you'll unleash the Holy Ghost in your life, begin to ask God, "God, let your Spirit begin to direct me. Let it lead me. Let it talk to me. I really want you to talk to me, Lord. Correct the things that needs corrected in my life. And let me be led of the Spirit." I'm telling you, I think we're moving into an era where God is wanting to work in His people more. He's wanting to get closer to us, and I think He's putting that in the mind of the ministry. I heard something in Brother Dave's words that came out of his heart in this meeting that I thought was unusual, because you could feel his heart pulling to be led of the Spirit of God. That that we need an operation of the Holy Ghost working afresh and new. And he got broke down crying, trying to express his heart on it. And I I thought, that's unusual. That's the Spirit of God talking. You don't know that when God gets ready to move, He stirs His ministry up to stir up the people. And God works in times and seasons like that. I just feel like God's wanting us to, He's wanting the Holy Ghost to begin to work in our lives. And I think that we are to try to let the Holy Ghost lead us. And even if it's a little bit unorthodox, sometimes God, He wants to work out of the box to bring new things, to bring us into new a new function or operation, or even into, He may want to cause a new work among us. That is, I don't know what the work is, but He may want to bring something among us that would be new and refreshing and full of, it inspire us. There's nothing more inspiring to me than the moving of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I love to be in those services where, you just don't know what's going to happen, and all of a sudden somebody does something, the Holy Ghost moves on somebody and it explodes, I love that. I love to see God work like that. And that's always a drawing card, seems like, for others to come and see what the Lord's doing over there in that place. So pray with me that God, let's ask God to begin to help us to be more led of His Spirit. God, let the Holy Ghost work in us in a greater way and help us to begin to be more sensitive. What was that song we sing that somebody wrote about being more sensitive to your spirit? Yeah. I think we need that. And we need to get ourselves girded up for God to use us. If we're not expecting God, we're not asking God, we're not looking for God to use us, to talk to us, to lead us, to guide us, then we're not, our ears not open to hear what He has to say. But God, help us to get tuned into You. I just think God is, He's willing to talk to us, He's willing to use us, but He wants us to get tuned in to Him. He's not going to tune in to us. I've about decided that. He's not going to tune down on the AM level. He wants to get us up on a higher frequency. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let me get down from here. 5G, yeah. Get up higher. Hallelujah. I should mention it later, but I'll forget it if I don't say it when it's on my mind. Brother Painter, and I should have mentioned this before service today. He's got, I think, six sets of the Convention Center meeting DVDs copied and available. How much is it, a set? So if you're wanting a full set of that, that was a good meeting, and there was good preaching, talks in it, good moves of the Spirit in it. There's a lot of good preaching in it. And the campground, Brother Memo Cano, they're supposed to drive in tonight, and he's bringing me the copy of the campground meeting DVDs. I asked him to pick them up for me, so we'll have them for you next week. But anyway, the Convention Center DVDs are back there and they're available. All right. Doesn't that screen back there? I don't think it's ever looked that good. That's a sharper than it's ever looked. Yeah. Praise God for that. Amen. I was about ready to get rid of that thing, get a new one, but I think we ought to keep it now.
To have a heart circumcised so that I'm sensitive to your spirit, to be able to hear you when you speak. I want to know when you say go, to obey when you say stay or stand still, Lord. Rising higher, it'll be greater than the former. It's being led by your ministry. To have a heart circumcised so that I'm sensitive to your spirit, to be able to hear you. Try and catch me unaware. Oh, but in your body, Lord, I know my soul you'll keep. To have a heart circumcised so that I'm sensitive to your spirit, to be able to hear you when you speak. Oh, to
Praise God. See you Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Don't get out the door without shaking somebody's hand. Yeah, maybe I better make this announcement that they've been in the we're putting in a security system in the church, and they will have it finished. They'll finish installing it this week.